Amen. Thank you, Sister Billy. Thank you, my sister, for truly leading us and turning our hearts to the Lord tonight. Amen. Thank you so much for being on the line tonight, and I pray that the atmosphere that we are under will just continue, and that the Lord will meet us here in a special way tonight. Amen. Amen. Tonight, every night we've always kind of sustained the training that the Lord is enabling us. Tonight, we're going to just kind of pause a little bit because of the very significant window that we are sitting on right now. This very season that we are in is one of the most significant spiritual season in the calendar of God's event. A lot has happened in this season in history, and a lot is still happening in this season, and a lot will continue to happen. So we want to take advantage of some revelation pertaining to this season, and I'll just share briefly to cover this area of understanding, and we'll just use the remaining time to pray. And when we get to the time to pray, you can unmute your phone so that we all can really cry out together for a few minutes about some of the things that we'll be sharing tonight. And then we'll continue next week again to on our spiritual warfare training. This is still spiritual warfare, but this tonight we're going to pray in this direction. Again, thank you all so much, Sister Billy. Thank you, everybody on the line from ASLEP, and thank you for this wonderful obedience you've answered, the sacrifice. Father, I thank you so much for what you're doing in our lives. Father, thank you for the honor and the privilege you've given us to recognize such a call to serve you on this altar of intercession. Father, we thank you for this grace you poured out to God upon this 24/7 watch and upon everyone on this line that is carrying your heart for their ministries and for the nation. Father, we thank you for ASLPN, and we thank you for the different ministries that are connected, are affiliated to this assignment. Again, we give you glory and honor as we yield to your spirit tonight. We totally give you glory and honor for what you are about to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Those of you that started this training with us, you see that some of the teachings that we did was there was so much parallel to what we see and what we don't see. What we see with our physical eyes, God has used them as shadows or parallels to spiritual reality. A lot of things you see in the natural are used as parables or illustrations or symbolisms or allegories to the things of the spirit. And one of those is seasons. One of those is seasons and time. Seasons and time, they kind of interchange in some places in the Bible. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 1, we all know it. It says, to every purpose under heaven, there is a time and there's a season, that God has given to every purpose under heaven. So God is a God of season, and God is a God of order. God, everything God has done is done with perfection and precision. So God ordained season. So, and again, in the past, we talked about two kinds of time. If you go to the Old Testament, time is represented in the way of seasons. Time and seasons are kind of interchangeable. In the Old Testament, most places you see the word for seasons that are more connected to time. Our point as spiritual timing is the word in Hebrew for the word for moeb. Moeb, they are called appointed time or appointed seasons. you know, or set time or fixed time, and these are connected directly to the feast calendar, the feast season. So the word for seasons there, or the time, is the word for moeb, which is when time is in alignment with the feast, and these are God's appointed set time, windows of time. In the New Testament, in the time is represented by two words. One is kairos, which is, kairos is the same word in the Hebrew in the way God worked in the Old Testament as moeb. But in the New Testament, it's used the word kairos, God's divine moment, divine windows, divine seasons, appointed time, set times. The other word for time is the word for chronos, which is the chronological time, the day-to-day time, the worldly time, the time that we as humans are used to. So it makes a lot of sense that there is no way humans will live out their time, that the times that God visits man, and most of the prophetic windows all through the Bible, they cross the way of normal life. And most of those divine moments are kairos. They are God's, they happen during God's appointed time. Now, in Exodus was when God, as he was now beginning to call out a nation that would serve him, the Jewish nation, the Hebraic nation, that's when he started defining this time clearly, that these are his time, his moments with Israel. So in Exodus chapter 12, he said, verse 1, "And the Lord spoke unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying," verse 2, "This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you." This is God's time. And so from this month, you know, God gave them the Passover. I read 12:11. "And thus shall you eat it, and with your loins girded, and your shoes in your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both men and beasts. Against all the gods, the principalities of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the Lord, and the blood shall be unto you for a token," that's a sign, "upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be a memorial, this day shall be unto you a memorial. And you shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations." So here God gave them this. Later in Leviticus, God now laid out the different feast days and seasons that is tied to the harvest and the reigning season of Israel. And these things were used by the prophets in many, many ways. So now that we understand that this is the beginning of God's season, God's calendar year, this is the first month of the year. Now, when God started this with Moses, some things happened during this season. And God says to make it a memorial. Just to quickly move forward, these beginnings of this month is aligned to the worldly calendar in the month of March and April. So like this very month we are in is exactly this calendar season. Most of us know it popularly as the Easter season or Resurrection, you know, or Passover. So in this season, when we look at the natural season, which is a shadow of spiritual things, we can use the natural to understand what God really means by season, because season is season. In the natural season, especially in North America, there are four kinds of characters of the season. We are now entering what we call spring, which is actually the beginning of God's season. But we just came from winter, and then we had fall, and then we have summer. So here you have spring, you have summer, you have the fall season, and then you have the winter. Each of these seasons comes every year. Every year they don't miss. These seasons, there's a cycle. They don't miss. So every year, you have spring, you have winter, you have fall, and each of them have their characteristics. Winter, we all know that winter means cold. Summertime is really hot. Springtime, everything is springing up to life. During winter, a lot of things die. They lose their leaves, and just no rain, they just dry up. But springtime, some rain start coming, you know, and which is in Hebrew is called the latter rain. It comes, and then everything begins to turn green again, receive life and flowers, and they start to bloom. So we see here that in the physical, the farmers can literally use the season to determine sowing and reaping time. So every year, something has to go into the ground and bring forth fruit. Every year, something's die, and then they resurrect again. So these seasons are a cycle of life ever since God made, you know, the earth. So now, God is using the physical season to show us spiritual season, again, as a cycle of spiritual events that God has purposed. And so, for that reason, God always raises up people, like when he started with Israel, that they can understand times and seasons so that they will know exactly how to apply themselves to these seasons. So now, we have this Passover season. And in this Passover season, we have to look back for us to be able to pray prophetically into the window of this season. We have to look back and see what are the things that characterize this season in the spirit. What are some of the things that have happened in history that God has marked this season to bring forth? This season, let's begin with Exodus. In this season was when, after 400 years of a prophetic shut-in in Egypt, that God told Abraham, after about 400 years, this was the season that God now brought them out of Egypt. God opened the door. He unlocked them, brought them out of Egypt, and then released them to go forth into possessing their promised land. This very first month, within this very first month time, was also the time that, in this window of season, was also the time, spiritually speaking, that God, from what I read to you, judged the principalities, judged the gods of Egypt, and also this was the season that God judged Pharaoh and destroyed the strength of Pharaoh over the children of Israel. This was also the season that when the angel of death was bringing judgment on the firstborn of the Egyptians, everywhere there is the blood, which was a mark that separated those that are God's people. And this was the season that the children of Israel experienced healing. The Bible says they all came out of Egypt. There was no one that was feeble. So there was a move of God that was happening while the world was experiencing a shaking, things were happening to them. The children of Israel received corporate healing, massive healing. They were healed. This was a season of leavened bread. You know, they were able to, also a covenant was established. This was the first experience of a corporate covenant. They killed animals and put it on their doorposts. And that was the first time they experienced a corporate covenant, that it was the blood that set them apart, because God made a covenant with them through the blood of bulls and goats. So here, again, you see how God used the blood to separate the world from the children of Israel. It was also this very window of time, this month, that because of the promises, the prophetic word God spoke to Abraham, they will not come out of Egypt empty. This was the window of season that overnight the children of Israel were made rich, because they plundered the wealth of Egyptians. They had favor. There was a wealth shift. It was a jubilee of wealth, a jubilee of healing, a jubilee of deliverance. It was just such a celebration of freedom from bondage, from captivity, you know. So this was the season of salvation for the Jews. So this, God says, make this a memorial forever, for this was your Passover season. So these were some of the characteristics that happened in this particular season, in the days of Moses. Now, to show you that God is consistent with this season, if we understand exactly what God is doing in that particular time, we see again, I will read to you here in the book of Joshua. In the book of Joshua chapter 5. From Joshua chapter 1, God started calling Joshua that the time of Moses has gone. Moses is dead now. Arise and lead the people. God gave them some promises and also the promises that Moses gave to them. So as God was now leading Joshua, he told him he's going to raise him up. He's going to do something. And he led them. And God, again, just this same season, I'm about to read it to you. This very from the first day of the first, God just called them out. And this was the season they crossed River Jordan, parted, just like he did with the Red Sea. And as they came out, they were circumcised in the season, meaning, and God says the reason for this circumcision, he said that those of them that came out of Egypt were circumcised, but those that were born in the wilderness were not circumcised. So they were circumcised here. Again, and God says, he was rolling Egypt away from them, from their heart. So again, you see, it was another form of salvation for those who have a circumcision. They were coming out of Egypt in their heart. Again, this happened in this season, salvation. And then, let me read from Joshua 5, verse 10. And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal. That's where they did the circumcision. And they kept the Passover on the 14th day of the first month of the month at even in the plains of Jericho. And they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna anymore, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Cana that year. And then an angel appeared before them and led them through. Okay, again, it was this season, in the days of Moses, as soon as they came out of Egypt, they saw a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of cloud fire by night. An angel started leading them through the way. So this season was a season of spiritual renewal. They experienced a spiritual awakening, a spiritual renewal. They were experiencing a new move of God in their life. Now, it was the beginning. Now, in the after 40 years of being in the wilderness, 40 years of just going through an amazing experience of the wilderness experience, this was the end of the 40th year, and they were coming out of the wilderness. Moses is now, Joshua is now leading them. Here again, in the first month, it could have been any other month, but God chose the first month and told them to cross Jordan. They crossed Jordan. They did a circumcision. And now, right in the same season, they did their Passover. They celebrated Passover as a memorial. Now, after they did the memorial of the Passover, the Bible says the day after that Passover, that the children of Israel, they seized, they ate their last wilderness corn. That is, they ceased from eating manna. From that season, this very month, they started eating the fruit of the land, the fruit of the promised land. So, and then an angel appeared again and led them to victory. A fresh move of God, a fresh manifestation, a renewal in their walk. And the angel led them. And it was this season they started possess. The walls of Jericho came down, and they started possessing the land. So it was, it's a season is marked, like God told Moses, it's a beginning of things. It's a new season. It's a new day. The number 8 is the word for a new beginning. 7 is a cycle has been completed. 8 is the new beginning, the first of a new series of events. So this all happened in the first month. If you go to the book of Joel, the prophecy that Peter referred to, again, in the book of Joel, if you read Joel chapter 2, you will see again there where Joel prophesied about the first month, that I will give you the early and then the latter rain in the first month. It was talking about, again, the latter rain in the first month. And then it talks about God will restore that which the cankerworm and the locust have stolen. Again, that restoration, God was talking about a fresh move, a new beginning, and so forth and so on. Now, we see this in the Old Testament, how God works within this season. Significant move of God from Moses to Joshua. I could share more, but I just want us to get somewhere and pray tonight. Now, if you go to the New Testament, you will see again, because God manifested in the flesh, Jesus understood everything he was here to accomplish. He lived most of all his life. He did not miss the feast time. He attended all the feasts growing up. But when it was, he's come almost to the end of his ministry, and he was getting ready now to finish the assignment for which he was sent, it was this season that began the end of that assignment. It was this season that he established a new covenant and what we call the communion today, and ate the Passover with the disciples and gave them that covenant communion. And then it was this very season that he was led, of course, this very month that we are in, he went to the cross. And here's what happened. What happened in this season? On this very window of time, exactly what God did with Moses and Pharaoh, God did with Jesus and Satan. The blood, but this time Jesus became the Passover lamb. He was the lamb that was slain. And then when he died on the cross, the Bible says, he made an open show of Satan. And he stripped Satan of all his power through the blood and made an open spectacle of him. Revelation 2 says he now has the key of hell and death. So this was the season. That's why this window of time is one of the most significant time from the creation of man. When Satan took up from the fall of Adam, took advantage of the fall of Adam and has ruled over the mindset of man, this was the very season that end of Satan's power was ended with the blood. So Jesus paid the price for everything, our sins, and then through this blood, again, defeated Satan. So we overcome the devil by the blood of the Lamb, the word of our testimony. So this season brought an end of satanic rulership for any believer, and then turned everything back to the kingdom of God. So this was the season. And then it was this season in the feast. It's also called, this season is when also they call the harvest. But this is the first of the first fruits. So Jesus became the first begotten from the dead, the first of the first fruits. So he rose from the dead, and that's what we call Easter Sunday or Resurrection Sunday, and became the first begotten from the dead. And from then, 50 days after his Pentecost, the church was born, the first fruits. So this very season is the beginning of every time God does a new thing. It's number 8, a new beginning. So because of the nature of this season, let me go back again to Moses. This window is not just a memorial for us to remember the victory and the power of the blood, but it's also a time for us to enforce our authority and our legacy as God's children. It's a time to also remind God. It's like a birthday. It's a time that we remind God, or God reminds us of the reason we were born, the reason for which Christ died, and the reason behind the power of the blood. This is a time we renew our covenant. This is a time we remind ourselves of who we really are through the blood of Christ, who really are sons and daughters of God. This is a time we do an inventory of whatever limitations that ignorance has placed upon us. So here in the Exodus, again, in this season, reminds us of the defeat of Pharaoh. Reminds us that God has made us to rule over the wealth of the world. And this is a time for us to to remind ourselves through covenant that God has given us inheritance to inherit the wealth of the world materially. But this is also the time God has given us, again, a remembrance that through this covenant we have with him, we have authority. We have power over every works of darkness. That's why Pharaoh was defeated. This was a time, again, reminds us that the blood has made room for our healing. We need to take inventory. Where is our faith in the area of healing? Where is our faith in the area of financial miracles? Where is our faith in the area of ruling over spiritual forces? Where are we in those areas? This is time we take inventory. Is the blood of Jesus, is it lost its power? Is it lost its value? You know, this is where we take a serious inventory of why God has done these things and the privileges we have as God's children. Amen. So again, in the days of Joshua, he said that the manna ceased. So again, here, this is a time we have to also pray and say, okay, God, whatever my life has gone from paycheck to paycheck or whatever manna that has been in any area of my life, this is the time for it to come to an end. I need to begin to eat the fruit of the land. I need to begin to walk in my divine inheritance. I need to begin to walk better in divine health, in divine strength, in divine provision, you know, my promotion. Whatever it is, this is a season to pray in covenant way into levels of spiritual promotion from glory to glory. So this is a very, every time winter comes, it gets cold. So like this season, every time this season comes, we should expect God to bring a new season, a new breakthrough in our life. Again, to show you that this season is a season of beginnings. If you look at winter, everything dies, everything slows down, everything. But look at spring, everything is coming back to life. Everything is regaining its strength. Why? Because there's a fresh rain, a outpouring of rain. So this is a season, again, some of us are dry. We say, God, bring a refreshing in my life. Bring a refreshing of your spirit. Take me to another level. Take me to another place of experiencing. You know, I know where I have been, but I need refreshing. I need more of you, more infilling, more revelation, more understanding, more dying to self, more allowing Christ to take preeminence in my life. Amen. More I decrease, more he increases. We must grow spiritually, seasonal. We must bear fruit seasonal. And that's what this is about. Now, having said this about this window of time, this is why I want us to pray tonight, just for the remaining time we have. Whenever we understand the prophetic window, for example, we are not those that are called to look at signs. We've been given the word of God and we have the spirit of God in us. So the word and the spirit are enough to quicken our understanding to spiritual seasons. But sometimes we just need confirmations. So we are blessed to live in a time that we are seeing some amazing confirmations. For example, something new began in 1492, which was the birth of America as we know it today through Columbus, the discovery, that America has become what it is in the destiny of these generations. It was discovered by Columbus 1492. But right within that window of time was what most of you already know now as the blood moon in 1493 and 1494. So something new began. And also the Jews were kicked out of Spain. Now, in 1948, something new after 2,000 years happened. That was the birth of Israel. It's a totally brand new nation was born after 2,000 years. And again, it was in the window of the blood moon. So again, the blood moon in 1949 and 1950 shows that something new was born, which is Israel. That is a brand new, something began within this season where it was marked with a sign. Now, in 1967, 68, something new happened again. After 2,000 years, Jerusalem was revived into the destiny of Israel. That is brand new after almost 2,000 years. So again, this was some kind of unavoidable sign. That wasn't a coincidence. Three times, new things were born. America's discovery, you know, Jews gives, and then we see 1948 and 19, Totally brand new. So now we have, outside of all these things I've just talked about, seasons in the Bible, we now have a sign in our time. And I personally took time to see it myself. Just this Passover, the blood moon, we see it confirmed in our time. You know, blood moon this year, next year. So obviously, between this year and next year, again, we are seeing a sign that has been consistent, that something new is happening. And these seasons are just, and then from the what I just shared with you about the Passover, you can see again that God always begins something new, you know, a lot. And then with these signs we see. Now, what the difference between the natural man and the spiritual man is that the natural man will only notice something new when it's natural, like Israel and all the things that happen. But we are spiritual people, and God always begins things spiritually, and we have to discern it spiritually. So what happens is when we live in a season like this, with physical signs in the heavens and spiritual signs according to the seasons of the Bible, then we are to pray into that window. We are to really covenant, remind God of the covenant and say, the Bible says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered the heart of man, the thing God has prepared for those who wait upon him. So there's something God has prepared within this window of season. But it takes prayer and it takes prophetic sight, revelation to be able to pray on earth as it is in heaven. So let me give you one example of how Jesus, who is the Son of God, is a perfect example and is the author and finisher of faith. And then we pray. In Luke 21, the Bible says, verse 1, and when, let me read this. There was a prophecy in Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9 says, rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, thy king cometh unto you. He is just and having salvation, lowly and riding upon a donkey and upon a colt, the foal of a donkey, a young donkey. Now, here is Zechariah about between 500 and 400 years before Christ, prophesied, saw in the spirit that the Messiah, when he comes, you know, his first coming, he's going to ride into Jerusalem on a donkey, on a fresh donkey. He's going to ride into Jerusalem. And he says, behold, Jerusalem, here is your king. And he will ride on this donkey. Okay. Now, there are so many prophecies about, you know, Jesus. But this one is the example I want to show to you about praying into a prophetic, understanding prophetic seasons. Now, here is a prophecy. But now, because he is the word of God, he walks in the revelation. Every time you say that the prophecy may be fulfilled, that the word of the prophet will be fulfilled. So Jesus now is now seeing that he's going to his last Passover. The last Passover he will celebrate in Jerusalem. And here's what he did. Matthew 21. And when they drew nigh unto Jerusalem, and were come into Bethphage, unto the Mount of Olives, then sent Jesus two disciples, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway you shall find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Loose them and bring them unto me. And if any man say aught unto you, you shall say, the Lord had need of them. And straightway he will send them. All this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, tell you the daughters of Zion, behold, thy king cometh unto thee, meek and sitting upon a donkey, and he called the foal of an ass. And the disciples went and did as Jesus commanded them. And they brought the donkey and the colt and put them their clothes, and they set him thereon. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and stood them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So you see here how Jesus was very, very, very sensitive to everything that God has programmed into his destiny. God has spoken, and he lived in the window of the provisions of destiny. Everything God has called him to do, there are provisions are tied to it. So here is a prophecy that he will ride into Jerusalem on a donkey. And so here, he told his disciples, go. Exactly the window. He didn't ask for this donkey the last feast or the last year or the last time he came to. No, this was the last Passover. He knew the window. He knew what God, and he says, go to this place and ask for this donkey. If somebody comes to you, you might think this is an easy thing. Somebody comes to you, just bought a brand new car. Nobody has ever used it. You paid this big money, paid it off, and somebody comes to you and say, somebody say, I need the keys of the car. Well, I need it. The Lord needs it. I mean, it's not easy. They are human beings also. Donkey was the most expensive thing they used as cars in those days. You know, you don't just own it. So you have to have a lot of money and save a lot of money to have it. So here, Jesus knew exactly the window and asked for it. And it was released because it was connected to prophecy. And that's what we talked about, living in a prophetic season, praying into a prophetic season. So tonight, using this as a pattern of this season, we want to pray tonight in a few minutes that whatever God has prepared for you, whatever that God, because every provision of destiny comes from heaven. Every provision of destiny supersedes whatever you can do for yourself. They are divine inheritance. There are things that God has provided, whether it's somebody else that has bought it, saved it, kept it, but it's probably for you. Whether there's a position you're supposed to walk in, has been there for you. For example, you know, I just leave that. There is a car, just to give you an example, in this season. It's like, God, let me experience a little bit of it. There's a car that has been parked for a long time, a very nice car. And this car has been sitting there, and all of a sudden, the car has been there, but this season, I've been preaching this, and we're just praying into this season, and the Lord showed me, says, that car that has been sitting there for a long time belongs to a brother. And that car was released and given to that brother. That car has been sitting there for a long time, and this brother, when I met him, his car broke down, and this brother was really believing for a better and a bigger car. And this car is a big, nice car, and it's been sitting for a year, almost going to 2 years. Nobody has used it. It's been sitting because of some minor things. That car, the Lord showed us, said, that car needs to be loose, nice for that brother. And the brother is driving the car since yesterday. You know, so there are things that probably, you know, it might be whether promotion, whether finances, you don't have to know where it's going to come from. You know, the whole thing is to pray prophetically. Here, Jesus sent the disciples. But as we pray, God sends angels. And the angels know exactly the things that God has attached to your destiny, the things that will make your destiny flourish, the things you need to ride into the anywhere, whether it's finance, whether it's health, whatever it is. This is a time for God to loose things into your life. And this is a time for God to break out things that are limitations into your life. So I want us to pray tonight, especially praying into this window. You know, if there's been lack, manna means you've been kind of, you know, living within measurable means of provision or means of anything. But walking into your promise means you don't have to keep, you live beyond budget. You know, it's just an overflow. You know, God has called us into a covenant life. But because of sin and because of the condition of the church, we have not known this kind of breakthroughs. But guess what? This is a new beginning. It's a new season. And as we pray, it's very possible you are going to untie, you're going to unlock things prophetically this month. And keep praying into this prayer. Don't stop tonight. Pray prophetically. Pray whatever it is. There are so many women too that are supposed to be married, but for some reason, their husbands are tied down. You untie them. You untie. Just pray for that prophetic husband to be loosed into your life, or prophetic wife who God has destined to bring a fulfillment in your life. Also, it could be finance. It could be your health. It could be your children. They are not saved. It could be your children. They are rebellious. Whatever it is, it could be your family members that are not saved. You pray this window for them to come out of Egypt, to come out of darkness to light. This is a time for harvest. The first fruits of harvest begins to come now. Amen? And you can just fill in the blanks based on whatever God is showing to you. But just this season, activate it to bring in a new beginning into your life. A refreshing, an increase from glory to glory. Pray for God to bring a fresh encounter. Encounter God in a new way. Abraham has several encounters, many, many different encounters. People, even in the Bible, you will see different people encounter God continuously in different ways. Amen? You cannot just live by the experience you had 2 years ago with God. You have to pray to have deeper experiences, deeper revelations and empowerment. Amen? So tonight, let's just pray into the season and believe God that whatever God has prepared for you that your eyes have not seen, that your eyes will see it before this year is over. The things God has prepared for you that your ears have not heard, your ears will hear those things and you walk in it. The things your hearts have never believed or received, your heart will receive. Whatever it is, everywhere there's been delay, everywhere there's been barrenness, you pray for fruitfulness. Because everywhere there's been dryness, pray for refreshing. Everywhere that things are dead, this is the time things are springing back to life. So I want you to unlock your phone, unmute your phone, and let us begin to pray. And just, you've heard this word, now just pray into this season. And after tonight, take this word and pray into this season. Because there's a shift taking place. Some things are moving around the nation. Things are moving. Things are really moving if you open your eyes to see, and especially in the spirit. So let us pray. So just unlock your phone and just begin to pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you for the blood of Jesus. Oh, thank you for the blood of Jesus. The blood, the blood, the blood, the blood. The blood, the blood, the blood, the blood. Oh, Raskata Mashim Babosa. Iseke pori masikari bakata, oko shike brande kaya, mansoko brande yekesa, oko riandi santa mando roboshi, eke soto robo kante marakatasa, eke soko brande kayasa, maka eke soko brande yaka, isonto brande katasima, isokro to baga siti mande, maka soka pariande saya, isoko poriende kaya, imakata soto roboshi, the blood of Jesus, eka soko brande yaka, isomprondo katamanze, eke ryo soko to roboshi, imakata rabosa, yendo robo katasima, iboria si janda boriaba, yeso kamari katanze, apakatarima soto gonshi, manderi biyakaisa, ora babakasa, iso kamaria si jande, the blood of Jesus, reka santo romo shata, reki santo makokesa, esisi, Makoria bakataesa, yendo bokorie sinamba, yekaria bakakaisa, ogoboke sindarabaka, yekaisa, jopa prundu katamba, yesoko brandi saka, iso koriande babashika, yomborie kisanda mungu, manshu keriasa, yes Lord, the blood, the blood, the blood, yeso koriambakaya, mungusi, yekagasimaria, okokokoshitaba, isankaisa, thank you for your covenant. Thank you for your covenant. Thank you for divine inheritance. Thank you for covenant. Memorial of covenant. Alignment with covenant. Asoka brande saya. Ekeke simboriamba. Makaris kotomonji. Beke sataringa soto. Ikagaisha. Oh Jesus. Rikanto rimakas. Yes.
Mako sekeriata kaya. Iko santa muguriaba. Yeso komande. Yeso kariba kakaisa. Moshaka buriasa. Ekesonto. Ekesonto makasita. Ikisata moruko sande. Ekasuta. Ikuriabu katabinza. Ekando soko mandia kaya. Ure sekiriaba. Oko brandi katanga. Esokori mamakisa. Ishanto monguriaba kaya. Ikakaisa. Oh Rabakasa, Jesus, Ombakari Mamanzo, Ekezodongo Rianda Kakaisa, O Robokosa, Ekete Mungu, Ikisata, Ikesoto Robaka, Imarakasa, Ekesoto Robongisa, Ikasanto, Mungisa, Repakatanza, Ekeriabukaisima, O Rabababa, Yenderebokosa, Yekaisa, Chikeriabukumanze, Makarabakata, Ikatorobokosa, Ikoribakata Manze, Ikeriaboko Koisa, Zimbaburika Kaisa, Bakaria Bakaka, Ikeriaboka Ngaisa, Boshake, Ikasonto Roboya, Ika Kaisa, Ikesonto Robongisa, Jesus, Roba Babarikaka, Ye Kaisa, Robobobo Sekiriba, Yendo Robo Katange, Mongusa, O Rababakata, Ye Kaisa. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Yes, Moshe, Ikeriabosa, in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Yes. Amen. Thank you, Lakosa. Chico Brosa Kama. Yesoko Bratika Santa. Ore Baba 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 Baba. Rikindoko Santa Mari Baba. The blood, the blood, the blood, the blood. Life-giving blood, resurrection blood, yekiriokosama, salvation blood, deliverance blood, ekesontorobokasata, favor, favor, o rabakasa, a new day, a new season, rekinzo kamangisa, o rabababashata, o rabababashata, o rebebebesete, o robobobosita, yende mongusa, ikoriakasante, in the name of Jesus, yes. In the name of Jesus. Yes. Yes. Moria kosa. Eke do bunjitaba. Ye karabaka kasa. O robobobosima. Yendo mokuria baba. Ye kaisa. Mando robose. Ye kegesiapa. Yes, 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 yes. Yangaisa. Yo kuria boka kaisa. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus. Father, we have come before your presence. Even now, we are before your holy throne of Zion. Father, we thank you because you made covenant with Noah, and you said the rainbow will always be a sign that your word will never return void, that whenever you see the rainbow, you will not destroy the world again with water. Father, I thank you that you made a covenant with Abraham, that you keep, O God, from generation to generation. Father, I thank you for the blood of bulls and goats, O God, covered the life of the children of Israel and brought judgment upon the gods of Egypt. Father, I thank you for a better covenant. The covenant you have made, O God, with the very blood of your own Son. I thank you for this covenant. You said the blood of Jesus speaks better things than the blood of Abel. I thank you this day that you said in your word in Revelation 12 that we overcome the devil, Satan, with the blood of Jesus and the word of our testimony. For we love not our lives, O God, our lives belong to you. So, Father, tonight, I thank you for you said to make this a memorial. That as often as we take this, O God, we bring into remembrance. It's a memorial, it's a sign, it's a token. It's, O God, today we come in remembrance in the name of Jesus. We thank you because you've called us out of darkness to light.
We thank you because you've called us out of poverty to riches. Father, you said, let the weak say that I am strong. Let the poor say that I am rich. Father, I thank you. You've called us out of bondage to freedom. Father, for you have called us out of captivity to be filled with your spirit of liberty. Father, I thank you. You've called us out of sickness to health. For the stripes of the blood of Jesus has given us freedom from sickness and divine provision for health. Father, I thank you that you have called us, oh God, out of slavery to be kings and priests, and you've given us the scepter of dominion through the blood and the name of your Son, Father, to rule over principalities and powers. Father, I thank you. You've called us, oh God, out of every form of struggle into the freedom of sonship and the rulership. So, Father, I ask today, whatever sin, whatever rebellion, whatever, oh God, has brought your church, has brought us to this place, oh God, of desolation. I thank you because you said when we come to the complete, the end of the cycle of our suffering for our consequences of rebellion. You said you always make room when we repent for you to do a new beginning. Father, through the cycle of nature, even when winter comes, you make way for spring. Father, through the cycle of the sun and the moon, even when darkness comes, you make room for a new day. I thank you, Father. You said darkness, though weeping shall endure through the night, but you bring joy again in a new day. So, Father, we thank you. That you are merciful, you are gracious. That you look upon us and you see where we are as your children. So we ask for your forgiveness. We ask for your mercy. And tonight, because this season means a lot to you, Father, as we remind you of the very power in the blood of Jesus, the blood that forgives, the blood that cleans, the blood that washes us away from all our transgressions, Father, we thank you for that blood tonight. We thank you that that blood, oh God, again roll away our sin. Wash us and let that blood renew, oh God, and bring us back into our position before your presence as sons and daughters. Let something new, oh God, let there be a refreshing. Even in this season, as you said in Acts 3:19, let there be a refreshing from your presence upon our life. Bring a refreshing, oh God, in our spiritual walk. May we experience you in a true and miraculous way. Father, begin a fresh move in our lives. May we taste of your miraculous healing power again. May we taste of your miraculous provisions again. May we taste, oh God, of your miraculous favor in our lives. Father, we pray that you begin a new work, that we will see our sons and daughters come out of darkness. Father, we pray again that we will see a fresh move of your spirit that will blanket our cities and nation and bring the captivity of our generation to an end into your light and freedom. Father, again tonight, I pray. Where there's been lack, you said to the children of Israel, you sow too much, you sow and the enemies come and they eat it up. You sow, but it's like your pocket has holes. Father, I pray, oh God, as you forgave Israel and you restored, I pray once again that we will know what it is when you open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing that is beyond our capacity to even imagine. Because you're still the same. Who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we can ever ask or even think. So, Father, renew, remember, refresh, awaken, revive your church, revive us again, and cause us to be raised out of our desolation, to be the light and the salt, and again to walk in the scepter of your power and the mantle of authority that will cause our generation to know that you are still God. Father, do something new in our life. Bring spring into every area of our life. I thank you tonight
for refreshing in the life of every intercessor this season. Father, let something begin in this first month, oh God, that our eyes before this year and in this revolution of time, in these seasons of time, we will begin to testify, oh truly, those who have labored with tears, they shall, oh God, reap with joy. Father, thank you for your favor. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for the blood upon our lives. Thank you for Psalms 91 upon every soul in this place. We give you glory and honor. Father, bring an end to the suffering of your people. Bring an end to lack. Bring an end to every form of barrenness. Father, open the doors, oh God, the windows of blessing, and cause your people to rejoice. Where there's been ashes, turn it to beauty. Father, we thank you tonight because you're still the same God who raises the dead. You are still the same God who takes the poor and makes them sit in prominent places. Do it again for your name's sake. And tonight we give you all the glory as we look forward, oh God, to the manifestations of your promises in our life. In Jesus' name, amen.